You're listening to Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum
and Rob Hollis.
It's not actually called that. I'm sure maybe if we renegotiate someday, who knows, but I doubt it. Rob, I love you. We had a great episode today. We talked to Erica Christensen.
She walked right up the street here.
She lives down
pregnant.
The street. She
was 9 months pregnant.
9 months pregnant, walked up the street. What is she doing? What is she thinking?
That's uphill, too.
We had a blast with her. Let me tell you something. She talks openly, freely about Scientology. She educates my dumb ass about it. And we talk a little bit, very little about religion, but we talk mostly about life as usual and just all the crazy things that happen in our lives. Rob, Erica is a fascinating person. You might know her from Traffic, Parenthood. You've been around the block. And she gets personal about a story, you know, with the whole movement, the Me Too movement and everything. And she gets a little personal and tells us a story that was... It's just good to hear her perspective on things that happen and what happened to her, and it's important to hear.
Yeah, she had a very healthy outlook of what happened too.
Yeah, and I can appreciate that. I think we'll all appreciate that. Inside of You is brought to you by Hims.
Michael, you were bald for a long time, right?
I played a bald guy on a show called Smallville.
How does your hair hold up? Are you...
Well,
into
you know what? My hair has been holding up pretty good, but my dad had good hair for a while, and then all of a sudden I started to notice dad's going bald. He's looking like the lead actor from Poltergeist.
Yeah, you got to recede. I can kind of see it's receding a little bit. Are you doing anything for that?
You're receding, you son of a gun.
You got any bald spots popping up?
Well, let me just tell you, besides me, Rob, a lot of guys deal with this stuff. They deal with a lot of issues. They got, you know, the hair loss. 66% of men will lose their hair by 35, which you're right around the corner. The thing is, when you start to notice hair loss, it's too late, Rob.
So what's the solution for this?
I think the solution is for Hims.com, a one-stop shop for hair loss, skin care, sexual wellness for guys like us, for guys everywhere around the world, for men in general, Robert. It's science, man. I think that, you know, these guys can, if you're starting to get a bald spot and you can get some help, guys deal with a lot of issues, man. We deal with, you know, not being able to get it up. I'm sure you're young, so you still get it up frequently.
Yeah, how is your... erectile.
I mean, you know, I'm still getting, you know, I'm still doing pretty well, but you know,
you could use some help. Okay.
Well, I think everybody could use some help.
So what Hims does is they connect you to real doctors with medical grade solutions.
No waiting room, no awkward in-person doctor visits. Save hours by going to forhims.com, forhims.com, forhims.com. It's that easy.
Yeah. They just prescribe you right there and then they ship it directly to your door. You don't have to be self-conscious about going to the doctor's office and asking for...
Yeah, it's weird. You know, it's like, hey, doc, what's going on? Old guy, I can't get it up, or I got some hair shit going on here. Order now. My listeners get a trial month of Hims for just $5 today, right now, while supplies last. See website for full details. This would cost hundreds of dollars if you went to the doctor or a pharmacy.
Go to forhims.com/inside.
That's forhims.com/inside, forhims.com/inside. Let's get inside of Erica Christensen.
It's my point of view. You're listening to Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum.
Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum was not recorded in front of a live studio audience. I was a little worried because not every guest comes over to the house pregnant.
Oh, I don't know what the worst thing could happen is.
Well, I could think of a couple of things.
Yeah, no, I'm ready to pop. But even like, it's not like in the movies, like if you go into labor, you're going to have the baby sitting on the couch right here. Like I'd be like, oh, I'm in labor. Well, we got several hours. Let's wrap this up. You know? Like,
yeah, you'd know, right?
Yeah.
Would you just give me a wink or...
I'd be like, oh, wow, that's a pretty intense contraction.
Wow, your couch is wet.
I, with my first pregnancy, my water never broke. So
how did you know?
Because I was having really strong contractions.
What are cramps like? What are contractions like?
They're like a muscle cramp, like when you're working out and it's like a Charlie horse almost. Like it just contracts really hard.
Yeah.
So it's just like, it's a physical exertion that you're not doing intentionally.
Were you nervous? First baby?
Not really, because I thought that it would not be productive. And you can go down...
not be productive?
Yeah.
Productive to be nervous?
Yeah.
But how do you control... You meditate, don't you?
I don't, but I educated myself on like what the body's doing. Just like, this is what your body's trying to do. So instead of being freaked out the whole time, you're like, okay, I'm going with what my body is doing. It's doing the right thing. It's having the baby.
Do you know, for a long time, I thought your name was Erica Christensen.
I'm sure.
It's actually Christensen.
It's true. I'm sure very many people still think that it is.
And so first of all, thank you for allowing me to be inside of you today, Erica Christensen.
Always a pleasure.
This is a real treat for me. You walked to my house. You tweeted me back a few minutes ago and you said, I'm walking to your house because we're neighbors. Now, this walk isn't, it's not like Jane Lynch lives some, a couple houses away.
Oh, yeah?
That's a feasible, plausible walk. For you, you're not that close. And you're how many months pregnant?
9, if we're counting pregnancy as 10, which most people don't, but the doctor does.
But yeah, you walked. It was a little far. I was a little worried. I was like, holy shit, she's kidding, right? You're 9 months pregnant and you're walking. I'm going to say 3/4 of a mile. Uphill.
That's both ways. That's a little generous. I think it's like a half a mile.
Yeah, but here's the reality. There's not a lot of signal up here unless you have Sprint.
I don't. I have Verizon, rather, which is terrible in this neighborhood, but somehow.
Yeah, so
I was
what
able...
happens if, you know, all of a sudden the contractions? Do you know how we met?
I don't remember the exact moment, but I know that we were both working in Vancouver.
What were you doing?
I think I was doing The Perfect Score.
Perfect Score. Yeah,
yes.
That's right.
And
that
you
movie.
Were, yes. Great cast.
Yeah, and we hit it off somehow. I forgot where.
Oh, was it? Probably at the Sutton Place Hotel where everyone meets
where everyone. Yeah, maybe.
And you were clearly like deep into your Vancouver life.
In Smallville, shooting Smallville up there, yes. And I remember we hit it off, but it was just we were friends. And I asked you to go with me.
To a Foreigner concert. Is that not what you were going to say?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Well, what?
What? Go ahead.
No, I was like, yeah, I totally remember. We had a great time.
Yes, but you don't remember, didn't we go to the Lord of the Rings?
Oh, the premiere of Lord of the Rings
Lord
back
the
in L.A.
Back in
yes,
L.A. It was
yes.
with my friend Tom and Denise. We went to the Lord of the Rings premiere. And I remember it was a great time. And afterwards, you're like, hey, I got to go. My dad's picking me up.
Nice.
Remember?
I don't remember
You don't
that,
remember
but
the
I
Lord of the Rings. You remember that.
I remember that. I remember that because I saw pictures from that. And I was like, oh, I didn't look cute.
Why didn't you think you look cute?
Because, I don't know. I wore my hair natural, girls.
What's wrong with natural?
Exactly. But it wasn't working for me that day.
You've been in the biz a while, right?
I have. Wait. Okay, yeah. Yes, I have. I started working as an actor when I was 12.
When you were 12?
Yeah.
How did you know you were going to be an actor when you were 12? You're in Seattle, right?
No, we had moved here already, thankfully, or I don't know how it all would have worked out. But I'd been performing live with a group of kids. Basically, like church group, we'd perform around town.
Singing,
dancing. Singing Michael Jackson songs and dancing.
What
and
Michael
whatever.
Jackson songs?
Beat It. Man in the Mirror.
That's probably the best Michael Jackson song there is.
What, Beat It or Man in the Mirror?
Man in the Mirror.
Yeah.
Do you know that song, Rob?
Yes, I know that song. My dad was a big Michael Jackson fan.
Your dad's a big Michael Jackson fan. Do you know Man in the Mirror? You know Man in the Mirror?
Yes, I know Man in the Mirror.
I'm gonna make a change for once in my life. That's the song you sang.
It is.
So you're a good singer. I didn't even know you sang. I just thought you were a great actress, but I didn't know you were a singer.
I love to do it, but I don't always do it. So I'm not in shape. You know what I mean?
You have to be in shape to be a singer?
Yeah, you're vocally in shape. The muscle.
Is that true? Is that like a constant muscle you have to work if you want to be a great singer?
I believe so. I mean, I guess you don't forget how to sing. Like I can carry a tune for sure.
Do you sing in front of your husband?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Does he sing in front of you?
Yeah.
He does. Does he have a nice voice?
I think so. He for some reason, he gets a little embarrassed when I compliment him on it, but I think it's beautiful.
Really?
Yeah.
So you're acting at a young age. Your parents always like the supportive type. Did you have the supportive?
Yeah. Well, here's the whole story is, okay, actually the whole story, if you want the whole story. Speaking of my husband, he'll be so happy that I told you the whole story.
Why is that?
Because he just like, he has these little things that he knows about me that he wants other people to know for some reason. He's like, but they don't know that part of the story. You have to tell. So, okay. So we moved to California from Seattle when I was 4.
Okay.
And I think my mom just got a lot of like, oh, your kid is cute. You should get in the business.
And you were the middle kid.
Yeah. My older brother is 8 years older. And so he went to boarding school and he wasn't super in the home. But my younger brothers.
Brando and Dane. And Dane.
The
I hear
twins,
they're really hot.
They're super hot.
They're super good looking.
They are. They're 6'3" and very handsome.
And you were the middle kid, though, so didn't you see...
Well, what?
No problems as the middle kid?
Well, I feel like I'm the oldest because my older brother
was so old, was much older. Yeah, that didn't really...
Yeah, we didn't have that dynamic.
All right.
But so my mom got me going in extra work when I was
She got
five.
You going in extra work.
Yeah. And I don't remember that I disliked it or anything, but, you know, I got some work. I got... I was on Webster, the Web Touchables
Come
episode.
On. Webster?
Double episode.
You worked with Emmanuel Lewis?
I did.
Was he awesome?
I don't remember.
Is he alive?
Five. I'm saying yes.
Rob, check it out. Emmanuel Lewis. See if he's alive.
I think so.
Well, because I know the other person, the other guy from Different Strokes, Dabney Coleman, Gary Coleman, he died.
No, wait. No, it was Gary Coleman. What? Right? From...
Gary Coleman from Different Strokes.
Shit.
Which short person did you work with? Am I going to get in trouble
I'm going to get in trouble
They both had hit shows at the same
time.
Is Emmanuel Lewis alive? I bet
He is alive.
He's alive.
And was he on Webster is the question?
No, yeah, that is actually the question.
He was. He was Webster. Of course
he
was Webster.
All right. Okay, good. And so, I was 5 years old. I don't remember. I was an extra. I was one of many small children.
You weren't allowed to talk to Webster.
Probably not. Mm. Dressed as a little flapper in the... like Untouchables episode.
So what did your mom do? She just said, hey, I want you to be an extra. So it was her idea. Is that your idea as a 5-year-old?
Exactly. Okay. And so we did it for a year, and then they were making a pilot of Dirty Dancing, which clearly didn't go, but they offered me a line, and I was like,
a line of Coke.
They offered me a line of Coke, and I said, no, thanks. Like,
yep,
a good
I don't
little
do
girl.
That.
But they offered me a line of dialogue, and I said, no, thanks. And my mom was like, oh, bad idea. Cool. Not going to do the acting thing. And so we didn't. And 6 years later, I'm performing live, singing, dancing, all that stuff. And my parents were like, so where's all this go? Like, what do you have, you know, ideas about what you want to do? And I was like, I knew at that point, I want to be an actor.
And they're like, but 5 years ago, you wouldn't even say one effing line,
yeah,
Erica.
For reals? And then they discussed amongst themselves and they said, whatever, let's give her a little trial period. And I started working right away. And they were like, okay, I guess we can.
You started booking right away, didn't
yeah.
you?
Yeah. Commercials.
How old were you?
12.
12 years old. You're booking the McDonald's commercials?
The McDonald's commercials.
Did you speak in these commercials?
No, unfortunately. I didn't speak in the McDonald's commercial. I did a Volvo commercial.
How much money do you make? Do you recall? A lot, right? If
yeah.
you're in a commercial and it runs for a 6 months or a year,
yeah.
you can make 50 or 100,000, right?
I would say I probably made close to 50 on at least one of those.
$50,000 on
a
commercial.
As a kid, yeah.
We haven't even made 50,000 on this podcast. And we have to divide it between us.
And work, yeah.
And we have another partner, yeah.
More
so
than like
no
a day.
Money. But McDonald's, you worked there for a day. Did they offer you free coupons for Big Macs? Were your parents into health foods?
My parents were super into health foods.
So you didn't eat Big Macs.
It was like an occasional thing, I remember specifically, we were on a hike with my dad, and me and Dane and Brando were not into it. Like, it just got to a point where it was hot, and we were tired, and we were like kind of stuck on the sail or something, and he was using McDonald's to bribe us. Like, we're going to go to McDonald's after this.
And you did.
And we did. But that's my only recollection of eating McDonald's as a kid. Pretty much it was like... My mom made protein shakes, which I still drink to this day.
Protein shakes as a 12-year-old. There weren't protein shakes back then.
I know there weren't. They were gross. She made like some kind of healthy protein powder and berries and stuff like something. And we were just like, oh, mom, this is disgusting. There's chunks in it always of like
yeah, the shake,
protein
the,
powder
the mixers
that didn't
weren't
dissolve.
As good, right? You shook them. Remember those little shitty shakers?
Yeah.
You put some ice in there and it just like yeah. you taste everything all coagulated.
It was gross.
So you're 12 years old, you start working, you're doing commercials, you're doing dancing, you're like, I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
And so then you start taking acting classes.
Yeah.
And they're supportive.
If somehow.
Especially when you're paying their rent.
Yeah.
Were you
I
pretty
mean,
no, much?
No, I
no,
wasn't.
You weren't. You mean,
no, I wasn't. But I was definitely working. I was definitely getting work and enjoying it. And I was really committed to it, like really willing to go to acting classes and spend all the time preparing for my auditions and all the stuff.
Right. I mean, did your parents take it seriously? They were like, you know, like, you're an actress. That's it. My dad even like is like, come on, what do you do?
Right.
You act.
Right.
How hard can that be? You know, he thinks you just go and you sit, you act for 5 minutes and then your day's over.
That I mean, the time between action and cut, if you could just
oh,
count
gosh,
it as
right.
that would be amazing.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
Amazingly, myself and my parents all believed in me. We were all like, this is a worthwhile thing to do.
So you're a very supportive family. You come from Now, do you think, now you've talked about this a lot. Yeah. I know you talked about it on Dax, our mutual friend Dax's podcast. Mm-hmm. But do you think religion had a big part in your life? Because here's what I see. I want you to talk to me about this. And we don't have to, we can talk as much as you want or as little as you want. But I see religion really working for some people. And I see it not working for other people.
Yeah, totally. Obviously, the value is when it works for people and when we respect each other for it, because we have seen on the macrocosm of what happens when we don't respect each other's religions. Wars, it's bad.
It's pretty simple. I mean, if you think about it, it's pretty simple. It's like, hey, why don't you believe whatever the hell you want to believe?
Yeah.
And if that makes you happy and that's what you believe, then you believe it and just stop worrying about. I think it's just such an easy idea.
Yeah.
To think that, like, okay, you're Catholic, you're a Jew, do whatever you want. Great. Just don't tell me what to do.
Yeah.
I'll decide what I want to do.
Exactly.
And so, I mean, how did they get, was your dad, did he start practicing Scientology?
My parents both started practicing Scientology like in the 70s in Seattle, and then met through that.
And what they love about it?
My dad read Dianetics. I know my dad.
L. Ron Hubbard.
Right?
Yeah.
Released in 1950. Essentially, I don't know like if self-help books were really a thing before that, but this was a self-help book. It's basically like a biology book for the mind. It's very technical, but the whole point of it is this is why we do the things that we do that are irrational, that we don't want to do, that we don't know why we do them. This is the structure of your mind and how it got to be that way and how you can undo it and be rational and respond to things appropriately in present time instead of responding to things that happened before and stuff, right?
So it sounds like psychology in a lot of ways.
Exactly. Psychology, if the word were a broader word, if it didn't define what we know as psychology, if you just took it as like a study of the mind, then absolutely.
So you're saying that they fell in love with this idea, this concept, this belief, and that it worked for them, and they were able to change ways that they didn't like about themselves and sort of mold this new person based on knowledge and awareness of who they are in a way?
Exactly, except I would say that it's not molding a new person so much as it's stripping away the stuff that is not who you really are. It's just, I'm speaking from personal experience now, but it's getting at the core of who you are. All of the good things about you, all the things that you like about yourself are the real things. And the other stuff that you don't like about yourself are not the real things.
Because a lot of kids in high school, they start to rebel. Ah, my parents are Scientologists. My parents are Jewish. My parents are this. I don't want to believe that. I'm atheist, or I want to believe. Did you ever go through a stage where like, I don't know if I buy this stuff?
No, but I've... But
Dane did. Or Brando.
Or one, somebody, definitely. There wasn't any enforcement, so there wasn't anything to push back against.
What do you mean enforcement? I mean, I know what the word means.
I mean, it's not like they said that I had to do any of it. It's like, this is what we're doing, and these are some of the things that we believe. Obviously, it's actually impossible to force anybody to believe anything. You can force somebody to say they believe something.
Well, if they have a weak mind, I think you can do that.
You can like trick them or something.
Yes,
exactly. But they said, this is what we believe, and this is why we're doing some of the stuff that we're doing. So I took a course at 12 years old, and I was like, yeah, I'm into it. I dig this. The course that I took, which was like a few hours. And I was like, all right, cool. I'll do another one. And they were like, okay, great. And they cost $30 or something. They're like, sure, go ahead, whatever. And I just kind of kept looking into it and kept looking into it, and I was into it. So it was just never a thing. It's so personal.
Did they take you out of school because of the acting things, and that's why you're homeschooled? It had nothing to do with Scientology.
No. Yeah, it was because I was working. I was like in my classes and working and auditioning, and the school that I was going to, which was rad, was 9 to 5 or 8:30 to 5, and so
that's a long school day.
Yeah,
8:30 to 5. That's a job.
I had no concept of anything otherwise. It was lots of electives, and it was great, but I couldn't do both. Like I had too much schoolwork to reconcile with my work. mm-hmm. with studying my lines or whatever.
Right.
And so it just didn't work out scheduling wise. And so we ended up just doing homeschooling.
I mean, also, do you get into the place where, like, I don't know how this works, but like Hasidic Jews are allowed to marry Hasidic Jews. They date, you know what I'm getting at?
Yeah.
When you're a young woman and you're doing movies and you see a cute boy on set, does it matter if he's a Scientologist? Does it matter if he's Christian or whatever? I mean, is your husband a Scientologist?
I don't know. You'd have to ask him.
He's, really?
Yeah. Because he's he was super open to it always. Like, okay, you know, obviously whatever you want to do is great. And then I'd explain more. And I'm doing it like at the time that we met, I had the time to be studying essentially every day. So I'm like, oh, here I go. Okay, bye. And then at the end of the day, yeah, this is what I was reading about and this is whatever.
And you,
like,
so you talk to him about it. You say, this is what I'm learning and this is what I...
Yeah.
But isn't it a private institution where your ideas, you can't tell people your idea?
Absolutely not.
You're educating
me. I'm asking. Glad.
But why would I know any of these things?
Well,
I don't even know when Hanukkah is. I'm the worst Jew in history. These are why I want to know these questions. I have friends that are very religious Catholics and Mormons. I have my friend John Heater, who's Napoleon Dynamite. He's a Mormon. I love him. I go to have dinner at his... Whatever works for you if you're happy. And sometimes I go, geez, maybe I should be a Mormon. They're freaking happy up there.
Yeah.
Family oriented, and they just that they're present, and they're like, maybe I need some religion in my life. What's going on with me? I'm a little bit all over the place. Maybe I need something that works.
I agree with all of this.
Okay,
you've
good.
Just
Thank
said
you.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
I'm not saying that you need religion. I'm saying, yes, it's beautiful the way it works for some people. Basically, yeah. So I was telling him all about it, and he was just like, cool. And then eventually... Oh, well, he kept expressing ideas just in life and conversation that were aligned with things that I had learned by reading and studying Scientology. And I was like, where did you get that idea? And he was like, I don't know. It's just what I think. And I was like, okay, pause, because I had to learn what you just expressed by studying it. So let me find it. And I could like find it in a book and go, look, read this. And he would read it and go, well, that's what I just said. And I'm like, that's my point. You agree with me on something that I read in a book, but you just have in you. And so that kept happening. And we came to the conclusion that we tend to agree.
So you tend to agree on a lot of things.
Yeah.
I see what you're saying. You kind of want, like, talk to him about it and he'll tell you. Because that's his business. Even though, like, you don't need to, like, for instance, Rob could say, oh, yeah, my wife, Natalie, she's Catholic. But you won't say he's a Scientologist. That you like that's his.
I mean, there are some people like me who are obviously vocal about it, and like vocal in a way that I end up talking on podcasts about it.
I love that. And it's just I love how honest you are, because to me this is an education. This is an education for me who doesn't know a lot about it, and it's also like it makes you. The world, a lot of times, or society, Hollywood, they could paint a certain picture of things, and this is bad, and this is horrible, and don't go there. And you're like, you know, why don't I talk to someone who actually it works for, and it's great, and has positive things to say, and educates me? And that's what it sounds like you do when you don't know something. You look it up, and I just have people in the pocket. Instead of reading, I have you come over the house and educate me.
That's a great solution.
Isn't it?
It is.
Rob?
It is a great solution.
Just have, everything, anything that you're curious about, you're like, well, I don't know anything about that. Find someone who will tell you.
Who will come over the house.
Yeah, so you don't have to leave.
Yeah.
And tell you all about it.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No, I think it's great.
So you, in your quest for, not quest, but you wanted to get married eventually, you wanted to have a family, right? These are things that you've thought about a long time. But you didn't think,
surely.
I have to marry another Scientologist or someone who has my beliefs entirely. I'm open.
Right. It's...
But they have to be happy and like let me live and believe what I want to believe.
Of course, they couldn't say like that I can't believe what I believe or do what I do and not like be happy for me. But and I've never encountered anybody like that in all of my dating experience. but things that you believe, mostly, hopefully, I guess, would lead you to act a certain way, and so that's where it becomes important and practical. So as long as we could get on the same page with things that we do, then we're cool. When you're in a relationship, you're living with somebody, you're raising a kid with somebody, then that you find areas where there may be a little bit of friction or just areas
or compromise.
Yeah. Where we haven't figured out what do I believe and what do you believe? Oh, I had read this thing that said if you let the kid whatever, then it'll lead to this. And that's what I was thinking. That's why I was getting upset that you were letting her do that. Cool. Well, it came from an email that who knows like what this website, if that's true or not. Sure. But we have to try it your way and try it my way or whatever, you know, or if it's a Scientology concept. This is why I was thinking that is because here's the concept that I'm operating on. And so do you think it'd be cool if we can handle this that way? Yeah? Okay, good. We're good.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. I don't know how many times I have to talk about this, but it's so important. If you're sitting there right now and you're stressed or you're anxious or you have a lot on your mind and you just bottle it up and you don't know what to do, it's going to come out. And it's not going to come out in great ways all the time. BetterHelp has helped me substantially. Ryan here has been using it for a while. And I, you know, don't you notice when you don't use BetterHelp, when you don't have therapy?
Oh, the weeks where I miss a session? Of course, yeah.
Yeah, it's just, it's like the more you talk about something, even if you don't think you have anything to talk about, things come up and it puts your mind at ease. And we all carry around different stressors, you know, big and small. And at times, we keep carrying them around rather than processing them and letting them go. When we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively.
Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down.
Therapy from BetterHelp is helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. It's for all of us. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. I think people think, oh, what if I don't like my therapist? If you don't, you switch them. It's that easy. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/inside today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/inside. Inside of You is brought to you by Neurohacker Qualia Synalectic. I just sent some of this to my mother and she's starting to notice the differences in herself. And because I noticed my mother was always had brain fog and she couldn't think clearly. And you know, and I was like, well, this stuff works for me. And what's great is they weren't even a sponsor when I started using this. Have you heard of Synalectics yet? Well, listen, it's a class of ingredients discovered less than 10 years ago, and they're being called one of the biggest discoveries of our time for helping to promote healthy aging and helping to enhance your physical prime. Your life goals and your career and beyond require productivity. But let's be honest, the aging process is not our friend when it comes to endless energy and productivity. That's why I use Qualia Senolytic.
As we age, everyone accumulates senescent cells in their body.
Senescent cells may cause symptoms of aging, such as aches and discomfort, slow workout recoveries, hello, sluggish mental and physical energy, hello, associated with that middle age feeling, hello.
Also known as zombie cells, they are old and worn out and not serving a useful function for our health anymore, but they could be taking up space and nutrients from our healthy cells.
Much like pruning the yellowing and dead leaves off a plant, Qualia Synalectic helps remove those worn out senescent cells to allow for the rest of them to thrive in the body. And you just take it 2 days a month. That's it.
The formula is non-GMO, vegan, gluten-free, and the ingredients are meant to complement one another, factoring in the combined effect of all ingredients together.
And they must believe in their product because they have a 100-day money-back guarantee. It's pretty amazing. I felt higher energies. I feel more focused, younger. I have to say, because a lot of these things make me feel younger. I feel more productivity happening in my life, a little more enthusiastic. Help resist aging at the cellular level. Try Qualia Synalectic. Go to neurohacker.com/inside for up to $100 off and use code INSIDE at checkout for an additional 15% off. That's neurohacker.com/inside for an extra 15% off your purchase. Thanks to Neurohacker for sponsoring today's episode. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. The products and statements are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Now, can you be a Scientologist and get away with breaking some rules?
I don't know what rules.
Like for instance, like Rob, didn't you say like no drugs? You could drink, but you can't do drugs?
Yeah, well, that's not a
Rob,
rule.
Rob, lift your voice up.
Sure,
lift your voice.
Sure,
thank you,
sure.
Rob. Rob's pretty educated for a 29-year-old.
30.
It's not a rule per se because it's an action that comes from a belief. It's an action that comes from the belief that ultimately, to use my word from the beginning of this, it's not productive. And it's kind of exactly counterproductive to what Scientologists are trying to do, which is be more aware and more present and more responsible for themselves and their actions and their decisions and all of that, and confront things head on.
Right.
I mean, I know a ton of Scientologists that have a history of using drugs and stuff like that, but
there's a history of every religion.
Yeah, you don't really do.
Commandments, and it's not like you get kicked out of the religion if you break them.
Yeah, thank God.
It's like
you break them all the time, Rob.
All the time,
commandment.
But it's like, what do you want to be doing? Do you want to be doing this or do you want to be doing that? Because they don't really go together.
But we hear things like, you know, you hear stuff, and like I question this about John and being a Mormon, and I ask my friends who are Catholic. But like you read a lot about the stuff like Travolta and the black male, and the reason he can't get out is because he's so blackmailed, and they have all these things on him.
Oh.
And, you know what I mean?
No, I mean, not really, but like, okay.
But
they'll
say, though, you can't get out now because we have pictures of you with a man. Or they'll say certain things. But you see how this gets sort of blows up and it becomes something else. But you hear about this stuff.
I don't really, but I totally believe you. And I think it's interesting now, living in the post-truth era as we do now.
Yeah, right.
How easy it is to spread information that is, if it's exciting enough or if it's somehow connected to something true, that it just sticks and goes wild and whatever.
Right.
I mean, I definitely know people that have been Scientologists and then decided it wasn't for them. And then, you know, I know people that have kids that aren't Scientologists or other members of the family or whatever. You know, like it's really a thing that you do. So either you're doing it, it's like, literally, it's like, do you go to the gym or do you not?
But see, that's the thing. I look at you and I see a woman who is together. I see a woman who's extremely pregnant, who walked up my street 9 months pregnant. You felt like you could do it and you did.
Right.
You didn't perspire too much.
That was my whole aim. That was my whole,
but
I was like walking, like kind of hiking up.
Don't
the
die.
I was like, slow
don't
down.
Don't collapse.
Slow down.
Yeah.
Bring the body heat level down.
This is why I brought it up, because I was like, for you, it works.
Right.
Religion works for you. Religion works for a lot of people. I see you as someone who's together, who's happy, who's friendly, who's compassionate, who has a huge amount of talent, who has always seemed so happy and together. And so I say, awesome.
I appreciate that.
That's what I will say.
That's very complimentary.
Now,
thank you.
Are there anybody in the family that's not into that, that does their own thing?
My nuclear family is all into it.
What's nuclear?
Mom, dad, three brothers.
So all the...
Yeah.
So, but there's some people, those that don't believe are like, whatever, are you still friends with the family?
Yeah, there's no, friction. It's not a wholesale, whole cloth, you must take this. It's like, oh, you got injured? We could do this Scientology thing called a touch assist, where I put my finger on your body and it could help you heal faster and feel better. And you want to do it? Sure. Okay.
Is that true?
Yeah.
You can do it?
Yeah. Anybody. It's like,
can you do my neck right now?
Yes. But we'd have to pause for, I don't know, maybe a half hour, or just in case it took that long to have you get some improvement out of it.
Really?
Here's the thing.
Because I have a herniated disc in my neck.
Yeah, there's another assist. There's a whole grouping of very basic processes or, you know, exercises that are called assists that anybody can do, and they're super simple. I think this is hilarious because we could get off on talking about this. But it's basically getting you in communication with your body by directing your attention to different parts of it. And so you kind
of,
it increases blood flow and stuff.
Yeah, I don't pay attention to enough areas of my body. Just a couple. Too much attention on some.
And just
and not enough.
The main attention grabbers.
I probably need to work more on my mind, that muscle.
Okay.
My neck muscle, obviously, there's some pain. Rob, are there any things that you need to work on?
I'm sure, yeah.
That's vague. It's
no,
quite
it's
vague.
Not. I mean, literally, it's like, oh, I twisted my ankle. Like, oh, okay, let's do an assist on that.
Does your husband assist you?
Yeah.
He does some assist work?
Totally.
Right.
It's because it's very simple stuff. You don't have to be a Scientologist to do it. You don't have
to,
you know,
this is like, could be considered a form of acupuncture.
Absolutely.
A form of just another form of healing.
Yeah.
There's so many variations, so many ideas, and if it works, it works.
Great.
But you don't take Norco for those pains.
Is that a drug that I am just not familiar with?
It's a pain pill.
Got it. Yeah.
So you wouldn't do that?
Yeah, no, probably not.
Right. So you've probably never taken pain pills.
I had some ibuprofen when I skinned my whole leg really bad.
Really?
Yeah.
You're not drinking your pressed juice that I got you.
I'm not drinking it fast enough.
Well, you
are
can
you
just
saying?
Mix it up a little so you get those things in there and then have a drink. I mean, you know, you're pregnant. I just want to keep you hydrated.
Did you have an epidural for your first baby?
Mm-mm.
All natural?
In fact, I had my first baby at the house.
You did?
Yeah.
I could have passed by yelling while you were pregnant.
I could have caused her.
Yeah. I had an epidural this week. Monday I had an epidural in my neck. It didn't help. I'd rather do assist points.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And they give me what's called Versed, fentanyl. It's everything Michael Jackson died of. rolled into one. But I had a really good anesthesiologist. His name is Dr. Krikorian. Not Kevorkian. Krikorian. He wears a bandana. And he's very kind, but we're looking for alternative medicine and other things to help me out. Getting off topic. But
it's
super easy. It sounds like you had a together family. Like everybody was supportive.
Yep.
Was Brando and Dane acting? Were they?
They have done, and they're good at it, but they don't have, I think, the same drive to pursue it that I had, and that obviously one needs.
Did you have confidence that no one else had in the family when it came to that? Like you were just alive with that?
Yeah, it's a weird thing because, you know, like, have you had people ask you, like, well, did you think you were going to make it? And you're like, I don't know if
I thought so.
Yeah, I don't know if I would have tried if I really thought that I wasn't going to make it.
Yeah.
Like, my intention was definitely to make it, quote unquote. Yeah, like, I'm going to be an actor.
Yeah.
Like, so I'm going to be working at that. My brothers are super artistic. Dane is a photographer and a hunk and fantastic actor. And Brando is a painter and a writer, very prolific on the spec scripts that I just like, it's amazing. And books and things.
So your family they're very diverse.
Yeah.
Did you ever get nervous as a kid? Were you nervous on auditions? Did you get a panic attack? Did you get anxiety? You're nodding your head. Yes.
Yes. Well, there's one thing that I specifically remember was so frustrating that would happen when I would get nervous and may still someday in my future.
What happened?
My throat closes up. Like just in the middle of a word, it'll just close up.
Has it happened at all in adulthood?
I don't think so. But I've also grown into myself a lot.
Do you get nervous when you're working?
Not usually. I get nervous if there's something that I don't understand about it, you know? And then obviously there's work to be done there.
But it's not a confidence thing. You don't go, I can't do this. I have fear. I don't believe in myself. I'm going to get anxiety. Those things don't go through your head.
No.
See, that's a gift from God.
And Dianetics.
And Dianetics.
Yes.
And Dianetics.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it is.
Yeah, absolutely.
Whatever. It is because, well, shit, I talk about this all the time. I talk about to tons of people, actors and musicians and athletes and all the time about their anxieties and their things. And what do you think keeps that, you know, in check?
There's part of a acting method, I guess, that I have that basically, like a step of it is to like remove that part that thinks that you can't do it. That's not part of the equation. Like you don't get to decide that. You get to do the preparation and then you execute it. It's not for me to decide whether it was bad or good. It's for the director to decide if it was bad or good or, you know.
Okay. Let's dissect that for a second.
Okay.
Because that is an incredible, I mean, there's a confidence in you that you separate that just doesn't happen overnight. This is something you worked on. Was this through just growing up and taking acting classes and getting the right teachers and having the right energy and not being in a dysfunctional family
yeah.
and having the support staff that the fear of I'm going to fail, I can't do this, isn't part of the equation and never has been?
I'm sure it has evolved through many of those factors. I mean, as we also discussed, I did start out with a healthy dose of self-confidence. Like, I remember one of my first auditions, the feedback that my agent got was that I was green, quote unquote. And I didn't know what green meant. And then I found out, oh, it means inexperienced, which I was completely inexperienced. And I was so offended. I was like, how could they tell? Like, what gave me away?
Racists. What? How could they say that?
But then all of that kind of acting approach crystallized with this school called the Acting Center, where they're like, this is the criticism that comes from your own mind and from your classmates and everything like that is, it's counterproductive. What's productive is practicing what you're supposed to be doing and getting a grasp on who the character is and letting the character do their thing, you know?
Did you ever get on set and you're doing something and you do the first take and the second take and the director says, you're not even close. This is not what we want. I think we got to take a step back.
Oh my God.
Or recast you.
Oh.
Have you ever been fired?
No. That would...
Could you deal with it?
I mean, yes, and I would also be... I'm sure it would be a process for me to deal with it. I would be like, okay, cool. So why did you hire me? Because let's figure this out. What were you expecting from me that you're not getting here or whatever?
Well, that's also scary. I've talked about this, but if you get cast, sometimes you get what's called an offer. Mm-hmm. Without having to read. And mm-hmm. I've had those. And I think those, as much as you love them, they feel good for the ego. Mm-hmm. I got an offer today. Yeah. So I'm not auditioning for what you did. I got an offer for it. But here's the reality. Then you get to work and you're like, I didn't audition. I don't know exactly what they want.
Oh my God.
So now you're going on set and you're just hoping that you are what they want.
No.
And you open your mouth. Because when you audition and they go, uh-huh, let's test him. Let's give him another audition. And then they're like, yes. Well, that's what they wanted because that's what I did.
Oh, 100%.
So there's something, it's this weird balance, right?
Yeah, I so agree with you. There's when you are given an audition, you do the work and you find the character or, you know, what you think is the character and whatever. And you come in there and then they say yes. And you're like, got it. Good. We're on the same page here.
Right.
Whereas you show up and you're like, did I do all of my work? Oh, shit. And then there can be like that whole, okay, navigating and then, okay, I think we're on the same page here.
Yeah.
But yeah, but you have to know who the character is.
That's are you a good sleeper?
Not really.
You're not?
No.
Are you in your head a lot?
No, it's more physical, usually.
What with physical?
Restless leg syndrome.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that really what that's called?
It's a thing. Of course, I don't take anything
RLS.
For it. Yeah, but it's a thing.
I put it together. Restless leg syndrome. You know, see how I did that, Rob? RLS.
Look it
restless
up. Look it
leg
up.
Syndrome.
It's a thing.
Just like RPO, Rob's pissing me off.
They have all kinds of, I think, you know, probably over-the-counter and prescribed muscle relaxants for things like this, but I take homeopathics and magnesium and stretch and whatever.
I had a little numbness when I woke up this morning, a tingling in the arm and mm-hmm. the hands and the legs. Maybe I just slept wrong. I don't know. And I've had some, what's the stuff called?
Acid reflux?
Not mucus, acid reflux a little.
Oh,
like
dear.
Twice in the last week.
Huh.
I don't know what that's about. Maybe
spicy
I should see someone.
Food?
Maybe a little spicy food.
Wait,
yeah.
To solve it? Or maybe that's what caused it? Because that's what I meant.
That could have caused
okay,
it.
Okay, good.
That could have caused it. Okay, so you don't get nervous. You do your job. You're able to let it go. You've always been... You don't hold things in. You don't... Do you stress? Are you a stressful person at all? Are you a screamer? Do you yell at your husband?
Oh, God.
Do you ever just lose your mind?
What if I was? I don't feel like I would say yes, but I'm not.
You never... I can't imagine you raising your voice.
No, I'm not a screamer. There's... It's so funny. The other day, we were having one of those parenting things where he wanted to rip off the Band-Aid that she had on her arm, and I was afraid it was going to hurt her. And she was tugging at it and hurting herself by doing it, kind of just tugging at it, and it was like getting the hairs or whatever, and it was too slow. So he was like, I'm just going to pull it off. I was like, no, we're going to go swimming. I told her the pool will help it take it off. So don't do it right now. Just wait. And he's like, I'm going to do it. And I'm like, no, wait. And then he ripped it off, and she was fine. But... I was like, babe, if we're having an argument, we have to have the argument. Like
that was an argument?
Oh,
that's the most you've gotten into? I don't think you should take off the Band-Aid.
Yeah.
I told her I'd take it off in the pool.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to do it now. That's your argument? God,
I mean,
we
raised our voices a little bit more than that, but she was right there. And that was like, okay, so pause. Here's what happens. She adds this urgency because she's just like whimpering and crying and right. You don't want her to cry and I don't want her to cry. So we're both trying to solve this thing too fast. You can't just opt out of the argument and make the decision. And he's like, I knew that I was right. And I was like, of course, you go into every argument knowing that you're right. We both do. But we have to go through it to the other side where we're on the same page. And then, cool, go ahead and rip off a Band-Aid because now we're in agreement, you know?
Do you have a rule where you're like, hey, we can't argue. We have to, when we go to bed, before we go to bed, before we go to sleep, it has to be over.
That is such a good rule, but we haven't particularly specifically expressed that. That's a fantastic rule. I will say yes, and I will implement it from here forth.
Really?
Yes.
So you have been mad at each other for a good day, maybe?
Well, we've never had opportunity to need that rule. We do argue about stupid small things like that, like whether to rip off our kid's Band-Aid
right.
or not.
What about people on set, like other actors you've worked with? Have you ever been like gone home and go, oh my God, this guy is such a douche magnet. Oh, I can't work with this guy anymore. He doesn't listen to me. He doesn't care about my lines. He's selfish. He's late. Or she. Let's go to she. Maybe she did this.
Right.
You haven't done a movie with Michael yet?
Oh. How long have you been thinking of that one? He was thinking about this since the second I started talking.
I'm sure I've worked with people that I definitely worked with people that I didn't get along with particularly, but it's more like there are things that, again, growing up and like being progressively more responsible for myself and my own emotions and reactions and everything, I've come to realize like, oh, that person's just like, that's their sense of humor. Like, don't take it personally. It's right. cool. And maybe it takes a while to like get cool with it because you're like, I feel attacked by this person
yeah.
and it's not personal at all. So cool. Okay. Whatever.
Who's the best actor you've ever worked with?
Oh, that's a cool question.
Somebody just came to your mind. I could see it.
Well, the first thing I thought of was Michael Douglas. And then I was like, well, let's see. Is Michael Douglas the best actor I ever worked with?
Pretty good actor.
He's a great actor. I got to work with Tim Roth on his show.
Oh,
Lie to
I love
me.
Tim Roth.
He's just delightful.
Honey Bunny.
Yeah. I love you, Honey Bunny.
Craig T. Nelson.
Craig T. Nelson.
Dude, Craig T. Nelson's always been my hero. Poltergeist. God. And I know Dax, he was so excited when Parenthood started and getting to work with Craig T. Nelson. And I remember week one of the show, I go, I'm coming to set to meet Craig T. Nelson. And he goes, all right, bud, bring it.
He's the greatest.
I went over and I met Craig T. Nelson, hung out with him. I was like, oh my God.
He's the greatest.
He seems like a guy that's great and present, but then he could just kind of be like, you know, a little older and like, fuck this, I'm done for the day. Fuck off.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he'd leave the set, but he would get to that point where he's like, oh God,
I'm over it.
Right. But he's so real. Like, there's no like, I'm Craig T. Nelson.
No bullshit.
He's himself.
Did you every day? Morning, Craig. Morning, Erica.
Craigers.
Yeah?
Craig T. Yeah, we all call him Craig T or Craigers or any variation of that.
And that had to be just a great show to work on.
Oh,
a lot of emotions, but a lot of people in that show.
It's insane how good of an experience that was.
And it's insane also, the reaction. People get so excited when I say you or friends with Dax or they are like, Parenthood, oh my God, Parenthood!
Yeah.
Parenthood, I love Parenthood! That show just took off.
It really, the people that saw it love it, which is awesome. Very yeah. passionate fans of that show, including me. Loved it. But what I was going to say was back to like confidence as an actor and being able to let things go. It's such a good, I'm sure people get this from like long runs of theater and stuff like that, but a long run of a show with the turnover of material, you're like, who cares? That script's gone. Next, you know, like too late.
Right.
I think it's a very healthy, you get a very healthy relationship with like, okay, I did it. Fincher's not directing this, so you got three takes and we're moving on. Next, like, what good is it going to do to go home and think about it the rest of the time because you got to read the next week's script?
Are you constantly learning lines? Is it easy for you to learn lines?
I'll say this. If the writing is great,
always,
then it's so easy for me.
If it's not, it's the worst thing ever. It's hard to learn any lines if it's bad.
Yeah,
if it's sometimes it's clunky. And you got to be careful.
Well, yeah, because you don't know, like, how does that thought lead to that thought? I don't understand that. And like, but if it conceptually flows, I'm good. I'm like, I read it and I'm like, maybe I should read it again.
How was Dax as a director?
Wait, did Dax direct one of our episodes?
He directed Parenthood. He know because he directed me in Hit and Run. Directed me in a couple of things. He's great. I love working with Dax.
No, Dax is fantastic. I'm just trying to remember.
Were you in the episode?
I mean, was I not?
Did he direct the episode with Richard Dreyfuss?
No, there's maybe no way. That was like season two.
That was season two.
Yeah. I think. Or some, yeah, early on.
Right.
Whereas they didn't let actors really start directing until later on.
Did you direct one?
No, I didn't. I wanted to. But
did Craig direct one?
No. Peter directed one, right? Sam Jaeger directed one? Did Dax direct one? Are you backing me? You're going to be my...
Dax did direct an episode of Parenthood.
Jesus, which one?
He did Keep on Rolling.
Keep on Rolling.
Shit. I mean, there was only 100 episodes. Yeah,
2013.
Wow, that was pretty early on.
Yeah.
Jasmine and Crosby contemplate the future of their family as they welcome a new roommate.
So it was probably mostly them. So he was directing himself in that episode.
Well, as you know, Dax is incredibly considerate, incredibly articulate.
Smart, funny, charming. Yeah, he's
like very much a team player and very articulate, which are the things that I want in a director.
Yeah.
So I can say without remembering the specific experience how great it was.
Well, maybe you weren't even in that episode.
Maybe.
Dax is really going to be pissed when she doesn't
know. This is embarrassing.
No, but I bet you don't even have one scene with him. I bet that's what happened.
Maybe. Well,
did you ever have no scenes in an episode with it?
No.
Okay, so
I was gonna.
This is 6 years ago.
Yeah.
You've had a baby and 3/4 already.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Thanks.
You've done a lot. I mean, you've done tons of movies. You've done tons of TV shows. You've done a lot.
Right.
And now you're what? 30.
Five.
35. You're born in 1982. Do you ever get to the place where you're like, I don't really want to do this anymore. I just want to raise a family and just kind of hide out and have fun. Or do you really think, I can't wait till this thing comes out of me so I can go work again?
Both. There's like a speed of life that I get used to, whatever it is. So when it's slow like it is right now, like we're just chilling, waiting for this baby to come out.
You look crazy.
No, I get used to it. And then it scares me where I'm like, I could just sit here and make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and like, or dream up a nice dinner and cook dinner. And then what else have I done all day? Nothing.
You're working. Having a baby doesn't look that easy.
It's definitely
a lot of work.
It takes a lot of energy. I'm definitely hounding my agent and manager for like, well, so what starts mid-September?
They're like, you're pregnant.
How about, they're like, calm down. But I know that they're casting stuff for September soon, so let me add it.
You're ready. Look at you. I can see in your eyes. You love work.
I really do.
That's what I see in some people's eyes. Even Dax is when I look at him and we talk, he's like, he just wants to work.
Yeah.
He just wants, there's those people.
It's the creative high, and it's also, it's my job. So it's one of the main ways that I value myself is by being a part of something and contributing to it and then hopefully making a product that touches people and moves people and is exciting and all that.
So a sitcom on CBS.
Yeah.
6:30. Would you do a multicam?
I don't know if it's brilliant, but I don't know how to do brilliant multicams these days. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know if there's a lot of brilliant multicams.
Yeah, I don't know.
Are you up for anything? Is there certain things you wouldn't do? Would you do nudity?
In the right context. Like here's a great example of the right context is Shakespeare in Love, Gwyneth Paltrow is essentially a woman playing a man, and then it's revealed for romantic purposes that she's a woman, and he's like unwrapping her bandages that she put over her breasts, and it's beautiful, and oh, look, she's a woman, and I was like, oh, that's great. Whereas sometimes I'm just like, they're having a conversation, but everyone's just focusing on her nipple. Like, can we get that out of the corner of the frame so we can get back to listening to what they're saying, because everybody forgot what they're talking about.
Are you upset there's not enough dongs in the industry that show? Or you don't really care?
I don't care.
Dongs aren't as nice to look at, right? It's just like flapping dongs, Rob.
I'm very upset they're not.
I'm all, the equality and all that stuff, but it's just like, women's breasts are nicer than men's balls.
Listen, I agree.
Oh, good. Okay, yeah. You're with me on that.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And all the more distracting.
Yeah.
If they're not there for a purpose.
It's like a weird nose.
Well, just like it has to really be a plot point that we're supposed to be focusing
on.
Otherwise,
there is to know about the crying game. Remember that?
Or else, yes.
That was the movie to show Dong, and that was needed.
Yes.
Dong was needed.
It's a huge plot point.
Yes. Buffalo 66, unnecessary.
No, then we're just distracted.
That's just distracting. Did you see that?
Yeah. That was the very long blowjob scene.
Were you disgusted by it? Or did you think it was art, Rob? Because you're an artist, aren't you?
I mean, I like Vincent Gallo.
You do like his
movies,
Gallo.
But that was a little much.
Hey, you know, doesn't like.
Here it comes.
Not everybody likes it.
Yeah, that's true.
You can't please everybody.
So you want to be on a show again? You want to be in a movie? You want to work? Would you do Broadway?
I think so. Like, I would. But I also know that is so much work.
Yeah.
Like, it is really...
That seems like the hardest thing in the world to me.
I would think so.
8 shows a week, 3 hours a night. It just seems a lot. You're on your feet.
Can I tell you when the most nervous was that I was recently?
Yeah.
It was when I was singing. I got to sing the national anthem at Dodgers Padres the last...
Was that
second
echo?
To last.
Was that the echo?
They warned me about it. It was okay. Because I had my headphones on or whatever, but I had my earbud.
So you didn't hear the echo?
I mean, I heard it, but it wasn't enough to throw me, really.
Right.
But not having been, like, a singer in years and years, I was in the bathroom, like, practicing the song, like, probably sweating. Yeah, just being, like, basically, like, I can't really talk to people right now. That's the worst, where I'm just like, nope.
Just don't talk
I'm
to
just
me.
Gonna,
don't talk
yeah,
to me.
I'm just going to hide until this is over. And I ran into friends beforehand, and then I went and sang it afterward. They were like, you didn't mention that. I was like, nope, couldn't mention it. Was like, just had to get
through it. Did you hit every line?
Very almost. I got a great response, and I was very grateful. But, you know, listening to it back, I was like, oh, that was almost. That was real good. It was almost.
See, I'd mess it up. I'd probably sing O Canada by accident. Oh, Canada.
Do you know all the words?
Oh, yeah.
Are you Canadian?
No, but I lived in Vancouver doing Smallville for a long time. And yeah, so I know that.
More than 6 years?
7 years on that, 2 years in a show called Impastor.
Yes.
And another pilot. So I've been up there quite a few times.
Wow, you guys did Impastor in Vancouver?
Yeah. You've been lucky. I mean, Parenthood shot here, and you just like you were in the Universal lot, right?
Yes.
What a blessing, man.
Seriously, it could not have been better. Originally, it was supposed to shoot in like Pittsburgh or something, and then it was supposed to shoot in the Bay Area, and I was down for all of it, but really grateful that it ended up.
Do you want your kids to be actors like your mom kind of like took you by the hand and said, here, how about some extra work? Would you do that with them?
I think only if they expressed interest in it. How do they not express interest
when they're living in Los Angeles?
Yeah. Well, and they're going to be exposed to it because I'll bring them to work with me or whatever, you know?
Right.
But it's one of those things, like, if it's a real passionate thing, go for it. Who am I to say?
Yeah, that's a nice thought.
Yeah, I don't... obviously, my overall experience in Hollywood has been very positive. Just because
no
I like my
stuff.
Job.
Because you work and you go home and you don't get absorbed or sort of... It doesn't become all of you. You're able to let go, do what you're supposed to do. Am I right?
I mean, I do. Yeah, I take great pride in just in showing up to do my job and to just be on the team, you know, and take orders. And I like being a good soldier. I love and having those creative highs and everything like that. But I mean, also speaking of like the world we're in today, the post Harvey Weinstein whole thing, like, I look back on stuff that I've experienced and I've been like, yeah, that was not appropriate.
Not to say names, but what was the moment where you're like, I got myself down the wrong, in the wrong place. And this is kind of like.
I remember here's like the culmination of it mm-hmm. is like, I was at someone's apartment alone with them. They had told me that there like a bunch of people were going there. And then we show up and there was no one there.
Yeah, that's
like,
a lie. It's not your fault. They lied.
No, surely. But basically, like, at that point, I was like, you said there were going to be other people here and there's not. And he was like, yeah, well. And, you know, and so clearly he's like, yeah, well, I wanted to get you here. And I'm like, cool. I could have left at that point, but I didn't. Basically, let's say I did, hypothetically, because then there was another time that we hung out and then he's kissing me, whatever. And I'm like, stop. And I'm realizing how physically strong he is. And I was like, OK, no, but for real, you got to stop now. Stop. And then do you understand what I'm saying? No, because like I like you as a human, like as a friendly person. And I'm interested in things about you and I'm curious about you, but I'm not into this.
And you were uncomfortable, extremely uncomfortable.
Yeah, I was very much like it got a little bit further along physically than that. And I was like, okay, you could easily overtake me physically. So I need you to grasp
that I'm saying no.
Well, yeah, I was like, I need you to understand what I'm saying. And I understand how you feel like maybe I've misled you. Okay, bye. I better go now. But that was, it was
holy
grasping
shit.
The point where I'm like, I understand how he could believe that. And I understand that also because I used to be very, let's say, arrogant. Like, boys like me. You know, I used to think, do you remember? This is so great. Cole's going to be so happy that I'm bringing this back. Like, when we went to the Foreigner concert and stuff, I, like, leaned in and you're like, oh, no, no.
What?
I fully leaned in for a kiss and you're like, nope.
I said no?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
Oh, God. Is it better?
I think I would have totally kissed you.
Is it better that you don't remember it or that you do? I don't know.
You really did? Maybe I didn't realize what was happening. I don't think I said no.
I did? I think you were like, I had mistaken the situation.
Really?
Yeah. And.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, wow. I'm that person that just makes the assumption that like, oh, you're into me.
But I don't think that's an assumption. I think sometimes you feel something and the other person doesn't. And sometimes it's a little shocking or a little jarring or it's a little bit like, oh, I've had a date with a girl. And then I reached in to give a little kiss or something like, and I'm like, oh, wow. I'm like, I thought it went really great. Can't even have a pet kiss or not even a kiss on the cheek or something. But look, but your situation, let's rewind for a second because all I could think about was this. All I could think about was the situation that you were in, and it wasn't your fault. He said people are coming over and this and that, and then the entitlement, and I feel like, oh, she came over, and that's where it gets scary because you get with the wrong person and they can't, bad things happen, and that you know, I could visualize that very good for me, and I you know very well, and I it's kind of scary.
Yeah, it could. I mean, I don't know, maybe my mom in hearing this would be retroactively scared for me because there was that moment where I just realized like this body is so much more powerful. Like, I don't know how much weight this dude has on me, but like if he did not grasp what I was saying or didn't care, which is what I think you're getting at.
Way.
Yeah. If he really just didn't care. I was very interested in him as a fascinating person, you know, like if I had a podcast, I would have him on, you know, to be like, what makes you tick, man? Like, you're so interesting and successful. Right. Like,
but you weren't attracted to him. Like
right.
That. Right.
Right. And we ended up talking about that at some point. Like it may have been right then when I was like really trying to make it clear. I was like, I am impressed with you as a business person, you know, like,
right.
And you're so successful, and I want to understand that, and I think it's so interesting, and you know, but that's a different thing than what you thought it was.
It's a crazy time, and it's a very important time, you know. And all this stuff happened in the last year, and I think it wakes a lot of people up, and it just says, hey, you're not going to get away with this sort of shit. And the behavior that was happening was just so ridiculous.
Oh,
and the thing I couldn't believe was like you'd hear about these guys and. Guys who, I just don't understand this, can just whip it out and start masturbating in front of a woman. And I'm like, that to me is, there's some kind of psychosis. How does that happen?
Surely.
How can you just, a woman's there and that's enough to, I don't get the psychology of it. Is it a power thing? Is that what that is?
I think that's definitely part
Rob?
Of it. It's got to be. What is it, Rob?
Rob, what is it?
I am not sure.
It's
just I can't put my mind around. I can understand like that's what gets them going.
You know what? There are a lot of things that people are into that gets them going that
that's
are
true.
Like
that's
a real
true.
Foreign concept.
But you found Cole.
Yeah. And really pursued him. Like
really?
Yeah.
Made him uncomfortable?
No, it didn't make him uncomfortable. He somehow had gotten my phone number in his phone as Tim Johnson. Tim's our friend who lives in Massachusetts. And so, like, 3 weeks of me texting him, and he just thought it was Tim this whole time. And me texting him like, hey, let's hang out. Okay, let's...
He thought it was Tim Johnson.
Yeah. Let's go on a bike ride. Tim rides bikes, and he's a professional cross racer. Like, it made perfect sense for 3 weeks until finally I said, oh, I ran into your friend Steven today. And he was like, Steven, did you meet Tim? No. Who am I talking to? Oh my God, is this Erica?
The whole time he didn't realize you were doing this.
Cole's from Memphis. The Lakers were playing the Grizzlies. I was like, hey, you care about the game? Like, I don't know, just trying to start.
Why did you like him?
Because he's...
sensitive?
It's his, like, joie de vivre. It's his, you know, his adventurous and playful spirit.
That's what you loved?
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah.
What about his ruggedly good looks?
Well, that too. And the fact that I didn't feel like he was aware of how good looking he was. But I that was a change. Like, at very first, I was like, this dude, he's so handsome, he probably is an asshole. And then I met him, and I was like, oh, he's so
awesome. Did your folks
awesome.
Like him right away?
No, they were just like, who's this guy? Like, you just leave for, you just go on bike rides and crash your bike with this guy.
Oh yeah, yeah, the big wreck.
I broke my wrist. I got scrapes and scratches all over me. They're like, what are you doing? And I was like, this is happening. This is a real thing, which is an awesome thing. Granted, we were together for like 4 years before we got married, but getting married is it's so calming and stabilizing for everyone knows what marriage is. They're like, oh, it's for real. Yeah. You know? And so as awesome as it is for us, and it is totally different being married than dating, I think it's also awesome for all of our friends and family that are like, yeah, it's a real thing. They're not just like having a summer fling. That's that nice. Lasts
who are
four
your
years.
Hollywood friends. We all have Hollywood friends. Rob, unfortunately, I'm his Hollywood friend.
Unfortunately.
I said, unfortunately. You don't have to say it again.
I'm reiterating it.
Yeah, I heard you.
Scott.
Scott Kahn.
Yeah.
Yep.
Scott's one of my main Hollywood friends. And then...
Topher? You ever talked to Topher? I just had him on the show.
Oh, yeah. I love Topher, right. But we never hang out.
Right.
We see each other at parties, and then we like...
You're mostly
catch
a family
up.
Guy. Girl.
Yeah, family guy.
Family girl.
Yeah.
Family. That's you.
Yeah.
Family, church, life, work.
Yeah.
That's what you do.
That's what I do. Okay, lately, like the last 2 years since I had a kid, real happy to just be at home and then go to work and then be at home and then go to work.
This is some questions. It's just a quick question. You could answer them fast.
Wait, are these like Twitter questions or are they?
These are Twitter. I mean, these are brilliant. What people want to know. Lisa Hall at Negation 666. I love Parenthood. How was it to work with such a great cast? Everyone in that show was wonderful. Show made me cry a few times. So relatable to my life at the time and probably still is.
Awesome.
That was a good answer.
No, it was awesome to what you said. And what I'll say is it was a dream. At a certain point, I had to recognize that I was like taking for granted how good everybody was on the show. Watching the show, I was like, everybody's brilliant.
Everybody was great on that show.
Yeah. So delightful, creatively very stimulating and rewarding from the experience of being able to make everyone cry just like you.
Yeah, I cried too. Sophie Miller at Soft Zookeeper. Does she have any good stories from the swim fan set?
Oh man. I have to say, I think I saw some more questions on your Twitter that are about swim fan. And I will say that, I was playing like a very sexually predatory character that I was not that way in my life.
Yeah.
And so... working with Jesse Bradford was awesome because he was full. Every time I'd be like, is this working? He's like, no, it's totally working. You're doing great. Literally, I was like, this skirt makes my ass look so fat. And he's like, no, it looks great. Like, he really was there for me. Oh, and no, this is a better story.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Don't worry, it's fast. When we shot the what is probably infamous scene in the swimming pool, I asked the sound department if they would play Let's Get It On right when we started the first take. And wow. I was like way more, I thought it was the greatest thing. I thought it was hilarious and everything. And Jesse was like, okay, cool. Okay. Take two, you know, but I was like, I have to break this up and make it not really awkward and serious. Cause
sometimes you have to do that.
Serious.
Sometimes it is.
Yeah.
And serious. Or it could be really funny.
Yes.
You're having sex with Rob.
But in the movies, it's always
just kidding.
Very
see, I got you back.
Serious.
Yeah. This has been a real treat for me. You live down the street. You took the time. You're going to give birth any minute to your second daughter. Hopefully not any minute. This is a real treat. What's your Instagram and Twitter handle? What is it?
My Instagram is Erica Christensen.
Right.
Christensen, as you pointed out.
Christensen.
And my Twitter, which I should change. But right now, as it always has been, it's Erica Jane C. My middle name, Jane, after my grandmother.
Did anybody ever call you Jane? It was always Erica.
EJ. I got EJ for a while.
EJ?
EC, really, mostly. Mm. Yeah.
This is awesome. Rob, aren't you excited she came on the show?
Very excited.
What a treat, right? And Dax doesn't let Rob talk.
He does.
Rob doesn't, right?
No.
But I do.
You do. You're very gracious.
It's become a nice team.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
No, I hope you don't ask for more of a percentage in the company.
Oh, my God.
We'll talk later.
This could go on. I could hang out.
Isn't it easy? It's just fun. Longer. I feel like that too. This is just we're just hanging out.
Yeah. I hope people find it interesting because I could just chat with you all day.
I hope they do too. You're going to give birth. You're going to move on. You're going to do big and great things. I hope you'll come back and see me. If not, I'll yell at you in front of your house.
Yes. Again. You can come over while I'm in labor and.
Are you going to have the second baby
there?
I
don't see why not.
Thank you for allowing me to be inside of you, Erica Christensen. Erica Jane Christensen. This is a real treat. I love you. Thank you for being so open and honest and sincere. I'm dying. And educational.
My pleasure.
You really were. You educated me today. You educated Rob. He didn't know a lot of these things.
Very cool. My pleasure.
Yeah. All right. We're ending this.
See Bye.
Welcome to Talkville, the ultimate Smallville rewatch podcast. Guest star Sarah Carter as Alicia Baker. Although I didn't really work with her a lot. But Tom did, and they had some real big smoochy scenes.
Yeah. Should we talk about that?
Could there be any more sex? What was a three-page makeout scene that just kept going? Good Lord. We get it. They have chemistry.
Jump in now or catch up on any of the past seasons of Talkville on YouTube or wherever you listen.